Good evening, everyone. Great to be with you this Sunday evening as we have another prayer meeting. Hi, Aerith. And we've been praying through a number of things. Last time we were together, we prayed through those whom we had been evangelizing. Even took some time to think back on those who shared the gospel with us and thank God for those people. This month, we're going to pray through issues of maturity in Galatians. I've been both at the Bible College and through pastor sermon series in Hebrews, I've been thinking a lot about immaturity, maturity with regards to faith. And in Appalachia, and we've talked about this as pastors, it seems like many of our churches, or even people we call brothers and sisters, are sort of stuck in a cycle of immaturity. Maybe even some of us have been there, where we've been stuck in this cycle of, I need to get saved again. I need to rededicate again. I need to get saved again. I need to get baptized again. I need to get rededicated. And you just always stay at the beginning. And you never, ever break out into growth and real discipleship and maturity. And so I was thinking of, at the Bible College, I've been thinking of those texts that really relate to maturity, immaturity. And Hebrews 5 and 6 is one, really the whole book. 1 Corinthians 2 and 3, and maybe the whole book, but really 2 and 3, he really focuses on that issue. Who's spiritual, who's carnal, who's an infant, who's not. And I think Galatians doesn't use this language, but I think that's an issue here. I think immaturity is an issue in the book, and he's pressing them on into maturity. And I think we'll see that in a few different places this evening. So we're going to pray the word. That's what we're doing this year. We're going to look at Galatians a little bit, and we're going to have movements of prayer like we do. We've got four movements of prayer. We're going to praise God for the grace in the true gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to spend time praising him from Galatians 1. Our second movement will be confessing our own failures when pressing on by alternatives to God's grace. When do we trade in faith and grace and the Spirit for other things? And try to grow in other ways, other alternative ways of growth and maturity. And then the third movement will be thanking God for grace and growth. We're thanking him for his grace, but then getting real detailed in our prayers of thanksgiving about the ways in which God has caused us to grow by his grace, and using Galatians 5 for some motive when we look at the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Where have we seen God at work in our lives? And then finally, from Galatians 6, we'll ask God together to mature our community of fellow burden bearers. So God, by your grace, keep growing us, keep maturing us. And that's where we'll close. In the midst of all that, we'll have three songs. We'll ask Dave to come in just a moment and sing and lead us in Christ Alone. Again, just orienting our hearts to the true gospel. After a couple movements of prayer, after the confession time, Douglas will come and lead us in Be Thou My Vision. And then finally, we'll close with just a short chorus, Thank You, Lord, which ends with that phrase, Thy great salvation so rich and free. So that's how we'll close out our time tonight. But one thing I wanted to say is while we're praying through the word in Galatians, two things I'd like you to kind of bring to your remembrance is what pastor's already said about maturity. Bring those things to remembrance. And then also what he said this morning about grace. That was an incredible, I needed that word this morning. That you look at the story of Samson, and God's fingerprints of grace are all over that story. And so just bring those things with you into your prayers tonight. And I will ask Dave to come at this point and lead us in song.
I think this evening we're sitting in a great big living room together, which is good. So I want you to sing this way. I just feel like this would be best. Sing. But sing like you're sitting in your living room and we're just singing to the Lord as a group of people that love Him, as church together. We're not going to have any accompaniment because Joe's getting some much-needed R&R. So I'm going to do this a cappella, but I certainly don't want it to be an a cappella solo. That would be a disaster. So even though you guys got the mic turned up, I'm going to probably back off of it here in a minute once we get started. So, in Christ alone. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest doubt and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones He came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on Him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground His body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave He rose again. And as He stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am His and He is mine, bought by the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from His hand. Till He returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Thank you, Dave. If you turn in your Bibles to Galatians 1, we'll start there. And I'd like you to begin to think about reasons you would like to praise God for the grace in the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And we'll let the text guide some of those thoughts. The chapter begins with Paul's introduction to himself and a really brief greeting to the churches, wishing them grace and peace. And then it goes on very quickly to verse 6. He starts very abruptly here compared to some of his other writings. He says in verse 6, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Now, if we go back up just a little bit earlier, he's already, even in his introduction, laid out the gospel. When we look at verse 3, it says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins." There it is. "Who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age." And so he's preached the gospel to them. He'll talk about that later. He mentions it in verses 3 and 4. And he gets right into the thing that's concerning him in verse 6 and following. He even goes so far in verse 8 to say, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary," or a gospel away from the one we preach to you, "let him be accursed." And he almost repeats the same thing verbatim. It's a little bit different in verbiage and in things that are emphasized. In verse 9, "As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone..." Now, previously in verse 8, he said, "if we are an angel." So it's if we come and preach a different gospel, if an angel comes and preaches a different gospel, or if anyone else comes and preaches a different gospel. So he's been pretty all-encompassing here. "If anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary or away from the one you received..." In the previous verse, he says, "should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach." So it's the gospel that they had received is described as one that we had previously preached to you, and it's also the one that you first received. So if any gospel other than that one comes to you claiming to be the gospel, let that preacher be accursed, is the idea. Going back up into verse 6, the scriptures say, "I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, not that there is another one." And so the idea here is that this is a gospel that's altogether different. It's not the same gospel. The word really makes that very clear. And there's not another one. There's just not another gospel. And so what we want to do now with this admonishment is we want to take time to praise God for the true gospel. That there is a true God. There's one. There's one true gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the God-man, who Jesus is, that he really died on the cross, and that that death was penal and substitutionary, and that he rose from the grave bodily, and that he ascended, and that he's coming again. That really completes the gospel when he brings the new heaven and new earth. So there is this gospel. I don't want our prayer time to be focused on the fake money. Dr. Langer at the Bible College used to say, "Why do bankers train with real money instead of fake money?" So that when the fake slipped in, they could know that it didn't feel like the real thing. So we want to give God praise this evening for the real gospel, for the true gospel. So if you'll stand with me for just a little bit, what I'd like to do is I would like someone to say, not pray, but say something about the true gospel. And then I'll ask somebody else to praise God for that. I'll pick somebody and say, "Hey, would you care to praise God for that thing about the true gospel?" So what's something about the true gospel that you would like to praise God about tonight? Ed? The truth. The truth of it. Okay. Dave, will you praise God for the truth of the gospel? What's one more thing? It never, same message never changes, Gary. Excellent. Matt, would you praise God for that truth, that it never changes? Betsy and I just spent some time together, and we were talking about God's attributes on a long drive, and talking about theology proper and these sorts of things. And we were talking about his communicable attributes and the ones that are incommunicable, that is, the ones that we can kind of communicate about because we understand them. We actually can exhibit those same attributes in a human way. And then there are those that are incommunicable, like his omnipresence. We don't know anything about what that's like, being omnipresent. And so this unchanging attribute of God, we don't know what that's like. We're fickle and change a lot. But he's unchanging. What else? What else do we want to praise God for regarding the true gospel? It's a forever plan. This wasn't haphazard. This was his plan. This was his plan. And since Judy's a lady, is there a lady that would like to pray, thanking God, praising God for this reality, that it was his plan? Any ladies? Amy, thank you. And if anyone's at home, well, I don't know if anyone's at home is watching or not, but as we say these things, you can praise God for these same things that we're saying. Let's do two more reasons to praise God for the gospel, the true gospel. It changes our lives, doesn't it? This death and resurrection of this one, it changes our lives. We are not the same because of it. Who would like to praise God for that truth, that it's life-changing? Michael, thank you. Amen. One more thing about the true gospel. It's a gift. It's a gift. We don't merit it. We don't earn it. A pastor said this my first year back. The Christian life is a received life. It's a gift. Who would like to praise God for this gift? Ray, thank you. Go ahead and have a seat. Amen. For this next little bit, we'll move on in Galatians. Galatians 2, Paul gives a bit of testimony of his own experience after coming to Christ. Eventually he moves from how he received the gospel into a little bit of conflict among the early church leaders, and then a little bit of teaching on justification by faith at the end of the chapter. But what I want to primarily focus on for this movement in the prayer meeting is chapter 3. What I would like you to think about, and we're going to have a time of confession, just private confession, individual private confession. And when we do these times, I invite you to find whatever kind of prayer posture you'd like to find. You can sit where you're at. You can stand. You can get on the floor and pray. Kneel at your chair. Move around the auditorium, the sanctuary, however you want. But we want to confess our failures in our maturity process, our Christian growth, specifically those times when we try to grow in alternative ways than what God has provided. Okay, confess those things that God, I'm not leaning fully into the resources you've provided. I'm trying to grow in these other ways. So we want to confess those things tonight that are alternatives to God's grace. And Galatians 3 helps us with some language here. So verse 1 says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" So these alternatives, the world tries to bewitch us with alternatives. The world is a system. It's always trying to confuse us, bewitch us with other ways. "It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" And to think about our Hebrews series, those Christians were thinking about going back to the Mosaic system. So is that going to lead to more of the Spirit? No. And the question for the Galatians here is related to this false gospel that's being proclaimed in their midst. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Then the rhetorical answer is hearing with faith, right? That's the answer that's expected. Verse 3, "Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected, maturing, are we growing by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law? Or by hearing with faith, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness." And so the resources that I want to emphasize that the gospel does give, first of all, you heard the word receive quite a few times. We receive God's grace, we receive faith, and we receive a Spirit. Those are the things that lead to maturity. Those are the tools. Those are the resources, if you will. So when we go to our time of confession, what are the things outside of those three things? Here it was works of the law. In Hebrews it was persecution, fear, drawing us into maybe the old way is better. Maybe going back to the old way is what we're being tempted by. In 1 Corinthians, it was other wisdom. You know, other wisdom and sort of looking at Paul's wisdom in the gospel is just something I add on to other wisdom. There's other alternatives out here that I can explore and experiment with. And so what are the alternatives that you wrestle with? So I'm going to give you some time to pray individually through those things and confess anything to the Lord. Our Father in heaven, we confess these things to you this evening. These alternative ways that we try to mature, which end up leading in the opposite direction, whether they are things that might be described as wisdom from the world's system and ways of doing things that we think are growth, comes from that source. Whether it's a turning back to an old way, an old faith, when this maturation process in Christ gets difficult, sometimes we look for alternatives and sometimes go back to the old way. Father, it could be knowledge that for me, sometimes I wrestle with that there's this knowledge that I can achieve and therefore get to a certain place. And misunderstanding how receiving from you, from your Spirit, is so very important to studying. So, Lord, I pray that our prayers that have been lifted up to you in confession, that you would hear those prayers, and that, as we've heard so much about today, that by your grace that you would once again cleanse us and sanctify us and help us not to return to that well, that broken cistern, but that we would press on in the things that we've read here that you give to us, that we receive from you, and that we might grow in them. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if anyone has anything they want to share from that time. I don't want to press in too much there, but does anybody have anything they want to share? Pastor, you? Douglas, why don't you come? Oh, you got something you want to share? Yeah, all right. Go ahead. That's good. That's good. So there's always these alternatives that keep pressing to leave the gospel. And when we leave the gospel, we leave its power. And specifically tonight, the power to mature in Christ. And so Douglas is going to come and sing, lead us in song, Be Thou My Vision.
So as we are in the living room, in my living room, we about every other week, we bring the guitar and we sing over our kids. But this is a song where we are calling out for help, for God to be our vision, our wisdom, the victory for all our need, but also to bring us to dwell in Him and to camp in the truth that is in Him. So somehow every Sunday afternoon I also mow the grass, so all the allergies are here. So I will need your help to sing.
Song. I was thinking a bit about our last movement. I was at a meeting. I'll try not to be too specific. And it's a meeting where a lot of different Christian leaders get together once a month, and they have breakfast together, and it's in the tri-state area. And it claims to be about, you know, helping the community move forward. And when I say Christian, I put quotes around Christian, because one of the gentlemen invited to speak was a Mormon, and another was, anyway, I don't want to get too far into it, but it was this pressure to just be inclusive. Let's just include everybody in whatever their perspective might be, whoever might have a heart for doing good, whatever they think good is. And there's always that pressure to buy into what they're doing. And I hadn't been at one of those breakfasts in a long time, and I went because a friend wanted me to go with him, and it was the same thing it always was, and it was like biting into rotten fruit. It was just not good. Well, let's move on to Galatians 5, and what we want to do in this third movement is thank the Lord for grace and growth in the freedom of the gospel. As we look at this chapter, it starts with this verse, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." If we go down a little bit, look at verse 13. "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." And so we've been given this grace that enters us into the freedom that is in Christ. And Paul's exhortation in these first 15 verses is, don't put on that yoke of slavery again. Don't go back. You have the Spirit who will fulfill the law in you. He'll do it. Just live into the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And, well, what does that mean? Well, that's what verses 16 and following are. Here's what it looks like. Here's what it looks like for the Spirit to work in your life. You receive his fruit into your life. He's going to be contrary to some of these other things that were part of your old life. So verse 16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality." So there are sexual sins. There's a group of sexual sins there. There's a group of religious sins, idolatry and sorcery. There's a group of relational sins, enmity, strife, jealousy. And then there's a group of, I guess maybe we'd say, we're kind of moving from fits of anger into rivalries, community sins, dissensions, divisions, envy. And then we get sort of debauchery type sin, like extreme passion, sensual living sins, drunkenness, going beyond orgies and things like that. So there's all these works of the flesh. And he says, "I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." And you can see how each of those things counter the things above, the things that we read above. Whether we're talking about sexuality or religious sins or relational or community sins or extreme sins, all of these things counter in some way those things. So the Spirit really is creating in you a new life, a completely new, brand new life, completely different from the old life. And so what I'd like us to do, and we can just sit for this one, I'd like you to join with me and thank God for grace and growth in these things that the Spirit produces as we live in this freedom of the gospel. So the way we'll do this is we'll all bow our heads and we'll do what I call popcorn prayers. Okay, just short, not lengthy prayers, but just short, maybe one sentence prayers for some way that you've experienced victory here. Okay? How have you experienced growth? How have you experienced maturity? And we want to thank God for those experiences of His Spirit. Just short. Thank you, God, for my growth in or away from this or into this. Does that make sense? All right, let's bow our heads. God, I thank you that over many years, God, you have matured me in regard to these fits of anger. You're not finished with me, but you have, over time, subdued those things and replaced it with peace and gentleness. Our Father, this chapter mentions your Spirit many times. And it's not lost on us that in the great gift of your grace, we receive your Holy Spirit to dwell with us, to empower us for witness, to help us in our weaknesses, and to apply... When I look at this text, to apply the gospel to our very hearts and minds, that he opposes the works of the flesh in us. He puts them to death. And he, in place of them, puts new things. He brings new life. And I thank you for him. Thank you for his work. We need his help. And we're so, so grateful to have it. and to have it forever. Your word says that he's a down payment with more to come of him. I have no idea what that looks like, but I can imagine it because of what we've tasted so far. And so thank you for your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. One more movement to close us. In Galatians 6, we learn that some of our brothers and sisters may get caught in transgression. Those who are spiritually mature need to help in the restoration of such a one. That we should keep watch on ourselves. That we should bear one another's burdens. And then there's also this side of we should each bear our own burden in context there. That we should, those of us who are taught the word, should share all good things with the one who teaches. And so there's this emphasis on the community and ways in which we should be growing together in Galatians 6. And so what we want to do to close, and maybe I can just have a male and a female close us, if two would volunteer, to ask God to mature our community as fellow burden bearers, those who are, that we would grow in a community that looks out for one another, that we're paying attention to, hey, if one of us gets caught in a transgression, or if one of, you know, the I think of Jim, you just mentioned Jim Pant, they're grieving right now, and Derek and Michelle and their family, so there's a helping bear the burden there, and maybe like verse 4 says, maybe some of us need to mature in bearing our own load, but it's all in community. That we sharpen each other. So if we could have, we've got pastor teaching the word, right, and others teaching the word, and we want to support their ministry of teaching the word. So there's lots of things here, but if we could have one man and one lady ask God to continue to mature our community in some of these ways or in ways that you think of biblically. We'll close with that, and then we'll sing a final chorus. So who's going to volunteer tonight? All right, Dave is our male candidate. What about a female candidate to close? Sherry? Okay, Sherry will close us. All right, Dave, I'll have you go first, and then Sherry end it. Truly reach out. right. Well, you know this little chorus, "Thank You, Lord." Yeah? Everyone knows this one fairly well. All right. I'll do my best to lead us out here. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free. Pastor.
Aren't we grateful for our brother Rex? Thank you for putting that. When you can make something complex seem simple,